This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Fiona, Tass and Paul. Macca is away. Welcome to the program, everyone.
Thank you, Fiona. Our next guest, of course, is our local Member of Parliament and the Member for McNamara, Josh Paul. Good morning to you, Josh.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning.
And also good morning, Macca. I'm sure he's listening.
He is. He is actually listening, and he's taking notes and sending us lots and lots of feedback. So,
helpful pointers.
Occasionally, he sends us a pointer, and we just dutifully ignore it. Of course, don't we, Fiona?
We do.
Paul, Josh. We've got a lot we want to talk about with you, but
sure.
I did notice this morning in the media that the Senate President Scott Ryan has resigned. What's all that about? Do you have any intel on that?
No, I don't. It is a big loss for the Parliament that you're going to have both the President and the Speaker, Tony Smith, are going to leave. And from my experience, Tony Smith is, even though he is on the wrong side of politics, he is a true custodian of the traditions of Parliament and of the House of Representatives. And from what I hear from my colleagues, Senator Ryan upholds the Senate and the dignity of the Senate as well. So, look, it's politics is a
it's a moving feast.
It is. But you have to be able to put absolutely everything into it in order to keep going. And I'm sure it's not a decision that Senator Ryan has come to lightly. But who knows what his next chapter is? I've heard rumours about what the next thing, and I'm sure it's exciting. But I'm not going to.
You can't share any with us.
Not me. Yeah. All I'll say is I wouldn't be surprised if the Liberals find postings for their friends. They seem to be quite good at that. Whether it's Matthias Cormann or others, they do seem to find jobs for their friends after Parliament.
Yes, of course. Now let's move on.
Anyway.
The big news item, of course, is the AUKUS deal. What's your take on that? And, what do you think about the way in which the French are being treated?
I think that's a big question that remains unanswered, Tass. I mean, my honest view is that it was a pretty big press conference. Obviously, any time an Australian Prime Minister stands up with the US President and the UK Prime Minister all at once from different parts of the world, people will listen and people will pay attention to it. I mean, we have already had long-standing relationships with the United States and with the United Kingdom. So in that sense, our strategic direction isn't changing dramatically. But obviously, the biggest announcement being the nuclear submarine deal is changing our course. I think that from the Labor Party's point of view, we've made some pretty clear conditions of which we would support the acquisition of nuclear-powered submarines. And the three big conditions are, one, that we would never, ever accept nuclear weapons on our submarines or on any other defence material, and we are vehemently opposed to acquiring nuclear weapons. I have written about this personally and have looked into it extensively. We've also made it clear that we do not want a nuclear energy or a domestic nuclear market. That is not something that we would agree to. And then the final one is that all of this cannot interfere with the non-proliferation treaty. So there are really strict conditions for which we would agree to this agreement.
But you have agreed to it. I mean, I've noticed your leader come out and, quietly, not quietly, support this deal.
Yeah, and
including the nuclear power.
Yeah, and the nuclear powered submarines, on the condition that they don't result in either nuclear weapons being acquired, that we don't have a domestic nuclear market, and that we don't, it doesn't contradict any of the non-proliferation treaties, and we would agree to it. But the essentially what we're saying is that the weapons that would be on the submarines are not changing. It's the way in which the submarine is powered. Now, I understand that this is a significant
shift,
increase in our capability, and it is a significant increase in Australia's capability. But we do already use nuclear technology. We have an open water nuclear reactor in Lucas Heights in Sydney, where we create medicine and where we do use nuclear technology for purposes that we all agree are necessary. So it's not about the technology. It's about how it's used, and we draw the line in domestic energy. We draw the line in nuclear weapons, and we say that they are absolutely unacceptable. But let me make this point, Cass, that these are big decisions, and they are sobering decisions, and they are difficult decisions. And I'm not pretending for one way that this is a comfortable discussion for our country to have. But what we do need is sort of sober leadership to guide ourselves through it. And what we've seen from the Prime Minister is someone who's really keen to try and play to a domestic political market, to try and his language was really inflammatory and really trying to scare people into the immediate threat that we face. Now, obviously we do have national security concerns from a range of different directions. That's not a surprise. But to conflate this deal with some sort of immediate threat, I think is problematic, because this is, we're 20 years away from having a boat in the water. This is a hugely expensive program. It also is a big admission of failure of the government, who's spent 8 years not
building
a single
blank check,
submarine.
It's a blank check. There's no price tag on this.
Josh, where was the consultation with the Australian people on this? We haven't had any opportunity to have our say. And where is the
have a discussion?
There's been no discussion. It's just been foisted upon us.
Totally. Well, Fiona, I can say that I know my parliamentary leader Anthony Albanese has obviously been briefed, as well as some other senior members, in the sort of days before. But this was, I found out about it when the president stood up and made the announcement. So it has been kept very closely to the Prime Minister's chest, and he has tried to make a sort of wow. I think Kevin Rudd described it as a wow factor press conference. I think let's sort of be honest about what's going on. We've got 18 months to even decide what sort of boat we want to purchase, whether it's United States boats or a UK boat. We haven't even made that decision. We don't know how much it's going to cost. We also don't know how much it's going to cost to get out of the French deal. And one of the most deeply troubling things to sort of navigate through all of these complexities was the fact that Laura Tingle, the fantastic ABC journalist, revealed that the Prime Minister didn't speak to the French president before he announced it, didn't collaborate, and potentially only sent him an SMS as the way of notifying. I mean, it sounds like a high school breakup, the way in which the Prime Minister notified the French of cancelling a $90 billion submarine deal. So I think that this has been poorly handled. I think that this has been something that the Prime Minister's got excited about for a domestic political problem that he wants to sort of change people's focus away from his poor handling of the pandemic and onto sort of defence and other issues. And from our point of view as a Labor Party, I just say that, of course, we take national security extremely seriously, and we are not seeking to undermine or anything like that. We have to work collaboratively in order for our national interests. We want to govern this country and protect the Australian people, but we also need to respect our allies and respect those countries that are our friends. And I think the way in which the Prime Minister has handled himself has been disrespectful.
I was going to ask, Josh, it feels a bit strange that you've got people like the British Prime Minister who is now telling the French to back off. I mean, you've now got somebody else who's fighting the fight for us and making excuses for us. I mean, that just feels wrong.
It's a bit embarrassing.
It's a bit embarrassing.
Fiona, I cannot possibly try and speak on behalf of Boris Johnson. He will do that for himself. And I think all I can say on that is that it's clear that the Prime Minister has really been clumsy in the way in which he's handled this announcement. He's tried to focus on the politics, as he often does. He's tried to focus on the media, on the news cycle, not on the actual substantive issues that require leadership, that require
and the complete and the complete contempt in which this community has been, you know, we've been treated. I mean, nobody's asked us what our position is on nuclear power, and I've heard your arguments, and I've heard those before, Josh, with due respect. But I mean, I mean, right up till recently, we were buying submarines off the French, and we actively said no nuclear power, and now all of a sudden
we did.
And now all of a sudden, this is not even a debate, and I'm not sure where the mandate comes from. And I actually find it, to be quite frank, I find it appalling that Labor's actually just backed us, again, without having a conversation with the community. But we do need to move on.
We do. We have lots of other things.
We want to move on to climate change. Now, quite clearly what we're feeling is that we are being softened. The community is being softened. There was a speech that the Treasurer made yesterday, and there's noise that's being made overseas. What's going to happen? What's the politics of this? What light can you shed on the Australian government's adoption of a net zero target by 2050,
which is already behind everyone else?
The first point to make is that it's just embarrassing that we don't even have a 2050 target already, and it's no one, Tass, believes the Treasurer or the Prime Minister, who are sort of waking up over the last 24 hours going, well, hang on a second, we need to tackle climate change. I mean, give me a break. They have had 8 years in government where they have actively sought to undermine all efforts to tackle climate change, to introduce more renewable energy. When you look at some of the government agencies that were set up by the Gillard government, the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, ARENA, the Australian Renewable Energy Agency, the government have, even spending $600 million to build a gas-fired power station in Kurri Kurri, or even their ridiculous proposal to have a feasibility study for another coal-fired power station in Collinsville. The federal government have actively sought to slow down Australia's climate action, and now they are realising and they are waking up with the fact that Australia is way, way, way in front of the federal government in our expectations and our desire to tackle climate change. So, look, they might adopt net zero by the Glasgow conference. The Labor Party, we have yet to announce our climate targets, especially our interim midterm targets. They are coming. And one thing that we've said, and Chris Bowen has made this in his recent speech, was net zero is the minimum. It's the absolute minimum that we need to commit to. It's a framework, but we need to go further. And we also can't start in 2049. We should have already started. We should already be on the pathway towards net zero. Mm-hmm. And the 26 to 28% target that we've got by 2030 is Tony Abbott's target.
Yes.
It's insufficient, and we need to go further than that. So that's going to be our policy. We're going to announce it in the lead-up to the election. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to make sure that we don't just announce targets and announce sort of political lines like what the Morrison government's inevitably going
to
do.
Great to hear. We're getting lots of support for what you're saying on the screen here this morning, Paul. Josh, just one quick question before we finish up. We have noticed a whole lot of protests happening in our community. Who knows what they're about? They're apparently about anti-vaccination, but they're about lockdowns and all sorts of other things. And I do believe that there was a bit of a protest here in your very own electorate in St Kilda during the week as well. What's your take on these as a whole?
It's appalling, Tass. I mean, I've been to many protests. As a Labor man, I've been to many protests and I've been to many demonstrations where people have stood and gathered collectively to raise their voice on a particular issue. But what we've been seeing by the rabble of people who have gathered has not been peaceful protest. They've been trying to cause havoc and cause mayhem and mischief. And you only have to look at the fact that in my electorate, in the Shrine, we had people who were urinating on the shrine, who are leaving glass bottles, leaving a mess, gathering on a sacred place that is not a place to protest.
So
we've also seen healthcare workers in the city who have been spat on, and these are not protests. These are a group of people looking to make trouble, and I know doubt that there are a mixture of people in and amongst them, but I have no time for it. It's intimidating, it's ugly behaviour, and it's unacceptable, and they need to just pull their head in.
Josh, we will be talking to another Josh, actually, right after this about that very topic. But we do have one of our regular listeners, 317, has asked, where was Josh during the earthquake, and do you think it's a result of climate change?
I saw some commentary that it was the result of a fault line in New Zealand that ricocheted into the demand field. So I was in my house and I was, like the rest of everyone, a brief moment had a bit of a panic, but no, we're all much better. And Tash and Fiona, I'll leave you with this. I am very excited right now. I'm very excited because while the whole country is looking towards the big game tonight, I'm about to get my second AstraZeneca vaccination, and I'm really, really looking forward to being fully vaccinated and to being...
That's great to hear. Where are you having it done, by the way? Where are you having it done?
A local GP clinic who did the first one.
Great. Well, welcome to the club, because I'm also fully vaccinated and have been now for a couple of months. But I'm an early adopter with these things, as much as can be. Josh, thank you for your time. Always great to hear your thoughts, and thank you for your support of our community and also our the work that we do in this radio station. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Hopefully see you in the studio soon.
We look forward to that.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.